Hey, everybody, it's Mark Patterson. I'm back again with another great episode, Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. And as always, let's check in with my website, www.markpattersonnfl. There's 250 episodes of incredible people doing amazing things, like the gentleman that I'm going to have on today. Number one. Number two is I kept talking about Searching for the Summit, the film that the NFL did on me on my journey up and down Mount Everest last year, was nominated. It is now a Emmy Award winning film for Best Picture, which is super cool. And then the last thing, of course, we continue to raise money for Higher Ground, nonprofit, about empowerment of other people. And that's what the world is all about and should be all about. So anyways, the net is go check out my website. We've got a lot of things going on. I've got a new climb that I'm coming up with here pretty soon. But putting all that aside, I want to bring in my guest. I actually happened to run into him, ironically, John. First of all, John Foley, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, glad to be here, Mark. It's an honor.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And let's just rewind the clock a little bit. So you and I, number one, we both live in Sun Valley. Okay. Number two is, ironically, we both happen to be boarding a jet last week, and there is really no direct connection beyond going through Salt Lake. Maybe that's your end destination, but Sun Valley to Salt Lake, it's a big airport from Salt Lake to wherever you want to go in the world. And we happened to be on the same plane doing that junket together. I was going to New York to see what was going to happen with this
the Emmy. Yeah, and the Emmy. Congratulations, you won it. Unbelievable.
Well, it's like if you were to call and say, this is a Hail Mary, you know, this was a for sure a Hail Mary. You know, the way the night was going, we were actually up for two Emmys, Best Cinematography and Best Picture. And we happened to pull down the Emmy. I mean, the statue is gigantic. It's heavy. It's being delivered. I can't wait. But, you know, as I was sitting there on that plane and thinking about you and your great energy, and I've been on your podcast before, you've been on mine, and you've got this great tagline, and beyond just your energy, it really, I think your tagline, glad to be here, really backs up like who you are and what you're all about. And I think, you know, it was thinking deeper again on that plane. It's only about a 45-minute ride. And I was thinking that we're back once again in kind of this transitionary phase of where we are as a planet and people, from COVID to finally emerging out of that. And then Russia attacks Ukraine, and it's affecting us globally with gas prices and food prices and housing prices and all these kind of crazy things going on. And so much about what you talk about today is about mindset, right? Yeah. And so what I want to do on this podcast is just kind of get inside your mind to talk about mindset, you know, why you remain to be so optimistic. And when you go and you talk, is what you do, you're a professional speaker, you're phenomenal at it. And you're going into all these different organizations and you're talking about teamwork and you're talking about leadership and you're talking about gratitude and you're talking about these other things that can help people start to point their boat in that direction to get into that same, again, mindset. I keep using the same word, but mindset on how to go about life, you know, especially when all these negative things are coming at us. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you, but the simple question is, like, when you go in, like, what's your core message and how do you get there? I know. And by the way, I also wanted everybody to know that you are a former Blue Angel pilot, incredible, doing daredevil stuff all over the sky. And I think a lot of what we're going to talk about too has to do with those days when you were a pilot, and precision has to be so exact, and having everybody as a team work together to create and accomplish great things.
Yeah. Well, first off, congratulations again on your Emmy. I know how hard you trained for that. I've seen it. It's beautiful and great job. But back to what you're talking about here is, you know, to me, the glad to be here mindset is the combination of operational excellence with appreciation and gratitude. So it's the mindset with the execution. And I think you need both of those. You know, if I think back to you, you know, any summit, anybody trying to accomplish something, there's process, there's procedures, there's training, but the differentiator is, what perspective do you bring to the situation? And you brought up a lot of points here in the world today. There's a lot of negative and terrible things that are going on in the world. You know, way I approach that is, I'm aware of that, but I don't focus on the negative. In every situation, there is opportunity, and the opportunity of goodness, even in something as terrible as war, even as something as terrible as the COVID situation, we've learned a lot from that, right? So I think that perspective matters, Mark.
Perspective matters in a huge way. And, you know, when people are going down, especially the rabbit hole of negativity, right?
Yep.
And you know, you and I are like-minded in terms of being very positive people. And I always see the best in people. I always see the best yep. in the situations. And I like you, when there's setbacks, I always see that as an opportunity to get better. You know, what yep. could I have done in that situation and not play the blame game? But for those who can't like make the bridge, make the transition, yeah. like how do you, you know, I've known a lot of people who have gone down that path, right? And even though I may say all these great things, well, look at it this way or look at it that way, I still can't get them. Yeah. And is there a key ingredient in all this that somehow or another creates the magic formula towards maybe opening their eyes to something different?
Yeah, you know, I think there is a magic key, and it comes from, I think, a belief, and that is that the world, I believe the world's coming from us, not at us. And so that's a big statement when you really, and we can unpack it, right? So what does that mean to me? Well, when I see fear, when I feel fear, and I feel like anybody else, it always to me feels like a force coming at me, something out of my control. And I perceive it as an external force, okay? And what I've learned is that that can be a misperception. There's obviously degrees to this, right? And what I really want to focus on is, like you said, when you point a finger at someone else, you can say this, but three of them are pointing back. So I'm constantly looking at a situation and not blaming or being negative. I'm going, okay, well, what's my part in that? And even if it's just the way I'm perceiving it, and what can I do in my life to change that? And then what happens is you plant these seeds, Mark, and then they're like, just like anything, you water them and they start to ripen. Now, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge for everybody. And that is the seeds that we've planted in the past, they're the ones that are ripening now. So it's not an instantaneous thing. It's not like you can say, oh, there's no war out there. Let me tell you, there's a war out there, right? Now, you know, how I handle my personal relationships, that's in my control. How I handle my anger, do I get angry at people? Well, that's in my control. And all that stuff will spiral up to where I perceive people killing each other, right? And so I need to, I guess, approach both ways.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And you know, we all process information differently, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that, like all the things that you just talked about, I think there's also this whole notion about really surrendering. I'm not saying you haven't said this stuff because, you know, like you said, there's a lot of stuff to unpack. But I really feel this strongly about this whole notion that in addition to all the things that you just said, you also have to surround yourself with positive people yeah. and positive forces that are going to lift you up. And again, when you start talking about a team, John Wooden, you know, has once talked about surround yourself with five people in terms of when you start to calling them friends who are going to make you a better person. You know, not saying that you have to be the bottom guy in the wrong, but you know, how are they going to make you better in life? When I go and I run up and down these mountains all the time, you know, I don't listen to the Adventures of Mickey Mouse. You know, I'm always listening to a podcast like yours, for example. What is the name of your podcast again?
The High Performance Zone.
Yeah, I've been
and
on
thank
the
you for being
zone.
On it.
Yeah, that was awesome. It was incredible.
Well, and you know, it just like you, we're unpacking really the how do I want to say it? The essence behind high performance, right? The essence behind people climbing Everest and then winning an Emmy, you know, the essence behind what do you focus on? And to me, I've been really focusing more on this mental agility and this mental focus because I find that that's the differentiator.
Yeah. No, where I was going with all that in asking your podcast is I'm focused on listening to positive messaging that are
yes.
coming into my ears. And even when I listen to music and I do my Peloton runs, like I did this morning at Dark 30, you know, I'm out there in nature and I'm feeling myself that bring me joy and happiness. And I think
yes.
far too often, like when you start to go down these rabbit holes and to your point, like there's negative external forces that are coming at us, it's hard to see your way out of it, but there's beauty in everything. And just the simple thing of a tree and a flower
yes.
and a bee and a, you know, chirping birds and, you know, if you can find joy in these different things, The other thing I found, I'm interested in your, in you've accomplished so much and you know, and I'm not sure what the end game when you're a Blue Angel and you're flying all over the skies and doing these shows and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, this kind of a statement is kind of a question all at one time, but, you know, like, again, going back to my climbing, I never got into this for trophies. I never got into it for money. I never got into it for a film, you know, all these different things. I got into climbing because one, I loved it. And two, I found a form of healing for myself personally. Mm. And so again, I didn't tie my passion and my love of the outdoors to like someday I'm going to become rich. As a matter of fact, it's taken me the other way. I've had to pay for all these things and, you know, just unintended, you know, outcomes have been like the semi, right? Because you do it for the love of the game. And for you, like when you first got into flying with the Blue Angels, you know, like going back to square one, going, was there, I'm making this up, but was there like a Top Gun movie or was there something that inspired you that you weren't thinking about? You know, you're very fortunate that you're a sought after public speaker. So you're being called around the world to go speak to these different corporations and organ to inspire them and to lift them up. But that probably wasn't your outcome, your desire. You know, that wasn't even on the roadmap, right?
Right.
So you're just trying to figure out, I'm not sure if you, at first you were just, you want to become a mechanic or you actually want to fly. And so I'm asking you this question, like, what was the inspiration to like go down that path?
Yeah. So for me, it's quite simple. And by the way, we should get into the movie Top Gun Maverick, because I did some of the real flying in the original Top Gun. And I don't know, have you seen Maverick yet?
Yeah,
Top Gun
it's Maverick? Good. Yeah, it's good.
Oh yeah. Epic. Yeah, right. And yeah, so we can talk more about that, but back to your question, because I think it's important is, yeah, that inspiration. Actually, I remember the day very distinctly. So my dad was an army officer. I love my dad. So that's what I thought I was going to be. He was my hero. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll be an army officer. I'll go to West Point. That's where he went. And then one day he took me air show and Mark, I was 12 years old, actually probably 11 going on 12. And I still remember as we're talking, I looked up in the sky and I see these six magnificent blue jets flying. And those of you who've been in an air show realize it's visceral. It's like going to an NFL game. You're not just watching it. You're feeling it. You feel the energy. Yeah. You feel the smoke oil. I mean, and that's what I remember. And I remember turning to my dad that day and I said, Dad, I'm going to do that. And that's, at 12 years old, when you plant a seed, and I can be honest with you, you know, I was playing football at the time and I'm so, you know, I go, oh, maybe I'll play pro football or, you know, you get all these other different ideas, but I wasn't a great athlete like you. I didn't have the physical skills to make it into the pros, but I did have it to fly. And so I guess my point is that day is still welded in my heart, not just my head, right? It wasn't an intellectual feeling. It was a heartfelt feeling that said, I'm going to do that someday. Now, guess what? It's a long freaking path, but eventually with lots of obstacles, but eventually was able to achieve that. And I credit my dad. It was awesome.
That's really interesting. And I think what you were saying is you set a bar, you set a ceiling, and you didn't cap yourself by limitations. Again, really mindset. Yeah. And then you went, you put your head down, you went and achieved it. And part of that, and I used to do this in football all the time. In particular, I did it on when I was climbing Mount Everest, but yeah, you know, really visualizing like every, like jumping up in the air and how, and I'm sure I'm interested, like, because again, I mean, it's similar and it's different in terms of I'm going across the middle and running light is lighting me up when I'm catching it. I have to visualize like catching the ball and putting it in and knowing I'm going to get hit, but not focus on being hit by catching the ball. And for you, it's like, you're not focused on crashing, right? No. I saw one quote where when you're flying those jets, you're like 16 inches apart, wing to wing, you know, and you're doing all these crazy up and down and flips and all this stuff. Like I know you're not focused on crashing, right? You're focused on something else.
Yeah. And that's a good point. And actually, you know, the idea of life and death and, you know, I mean, climbing, let's say you probably have an analogy there, you know, am I aware that this is dangerous? Absolutely. But I actually don't think it's dangerous. It's just inherently unforgiving. And that's on my side. So how am I prepared? How's my team prepared? What's the training syllabus we've been through? How have we worked? You know, we didn't start at 16 inches, right? We started at 3 feet and then we worked our way down. Even 3 feet's pretty crazy, yeah, right? But the point is, is that while I'm airborne, even before I get airborne, the visualization process, exactly what you talked about. I'm in the briefing room. I'm visualizing the maneuver, and I'm visualizing what? It going well. I know exactly my position. I know exactly what I need to do. What does it look like when you're doing a loop and you tilt your head back and you see the horizon and you're upside down? Well, I also know that the G-forces are coming off. Sometimes I'm floating in the seat. So I go through that in my head before I ever get in the airplane. And then when I'm in the airplane, I'm in that flow state or that zone. The flow state isn't always there. It sometimes comes and goes, but it's there a lot. When you're so focused on just executing what you're supposed to do, and I know this is true in football, and trusting your teammates to execute on what they're supposed to do, now you got something special.
You're absolutely right. I want to wind that down to, you know, you fast forward. So, because it'd be easy for somebody to say, well, Mark, you played football 20 years ago and you flew jets 20 years ago or whatever it is, whatever the number. But, you know, like, how does that matter into today? And I want to zip down into your, because I'm remembering this from a year ago or whenever we sat down and had a chat. And it's just coming to me right now. And hopefully, you're the right guy and I'm saying the right thing. But I'm remembering that, like, as a daily practice, like in the morning, if you take us through your routine, because I think it has to do with mindset and visualization and getting your mind calm and what you're going to accomplish for the day and being grateful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, one thing I've learned is people who accomplish things, no matter what it is, they typically have habits and usually a morning routine that's repeatable, right? So for me, I'll give you mine. The whole key, and it's what the essence of this glad to be here means, is it starts with gratitude. So back to those earlier questions you're asking about, when you're feeling all this negativity, I turn my mind into, okay, well, what's the tree? Like you said, you know, just working. And we live in Sun Valley. We live in a beautiful place. Get outside, you know, take a breath. So anyhow, I'm constantly working on gratitude. So that's my practice. I've actually trained my brain to wake up happy. I mean, how cool is that, right? When you think about it, you know, we all want to wake up happy, but I physically have trained my brain, and you can too, so that the very first thought that hits my head when I in a conscious state, it's 99% of the time a positive thought. Now, there's always that weird moment in there. But you might want to ask, well, how the hell do you train your brain to wake up happy? It's by using a gratitude practice, right? And it's very simple. The minute I wake up, I just say, what am I grateful for in the present moment? So today was easy. You know, it's a beautiful day. The sun was coming up. I'm with my wife. She just got back from seeing her dad, who was going through some medical trouble. So, you know, just being there with her, we got two dogs now. We have that Rhodesian Ridgeback. We just fostered another Rhodesian Ridgeback, 106 pounds, right? And so I can hear them flapping their ears, but I'm just saying, be in the present moment and say, wow, something special's here, right? And then the other technique, Mark, real quick, is that can take 20 seconds or can take 2 minutes. It's whatever you're feeling. Then I go back to yesterday. This is really critical. Go back 24 hours and do a review, like a review meditation, and say, what happened yesterday? Did I have something to be grateful for? So I am consciously replanting seeds and watering good things that happened to me yesterday. And I think about people's faces. I don't think about an event per se, but I think about faces. So, you're hiking like crazy up there. I just took the two dogs up behind my house there and we hiked up to the top. And I remember how playful they got. And the one dog at 106 pounds, man, is hoofing it, right? And on the way down, they're all playful. So anyhow, my point is, I think about that. And here's the last technique. All right, go forward in your day. And think about something. Now you're planting seeds for the positivity. And your podcast came to my mind. I said, hey, I get the rare privilege. Spend some time with my buddy Mark. But more importantly, the people who are listening to this, that maybe we can help somebody. And like you, that purpose of helping others is what really keeps your energy going. So that's just one technique. I do it every single morning. And you can knock it out in 4 minutes.
I have something very similar. Not exactly that, something different, but I think that's your whole point, that everybody can have something different. Yes. And the attitude, whatever is going to get your mindset in the right space is what you're trying to achieve. And for me, I have this thing, FOF, feet on floor, and that nice. Propels me. Yeah, because, you know, look, I think I'm like everybody. I'm very disciplined about getting up pretty early in the morning, and I don't always just jump out of bed. But right. I know that if I can at least get my feet on the floor, that's the first step towards something great that's going to happen. And then, you know, brush your take a breath of air. And next thing I know, 15 minutes later, I'm out the door, you know, doing my thing. And, you know, just if I don't activate my brain like that, I usually am a little grumpy and I'm just not quite there. And so that's really what, like when I break up that moment, it just really, it makes it hard for me to like function throughout the day. But I want to mention that. So there's another one of my good buddies. His name is Jerry Robinson, and just something, it's just a side little note. Jerry Robinson was an all pro NFL player, played at UCLA, you know, on the all decade team of greatest linebackers in the, now it's the Pac-12, but the Pac-10 back in the day, played on a couple Super Bowl teams. He's one of my Raider teammates. And I had him on a podcast on like podcast 5, right? Now I'm on 250, but podcast 5. And I dial him up and he could tell me, if you know, 50 different things, right? Like, hey, Jerry, how are you doing? Hey, I'm doing great, right? Which most people do, which is typical, right? Which is great. And I go, Jerry, how are you doing? And he goes, you know what? I wake up every day with an attitude of gratitude.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said. And, you know, like, again, there's so many different choices that anybody can make, from negative to neutral to positive. And yeah, I just never heard that before from anybody. I mean, you also have the attitude of gratitude as well. But it was just so cool to hear from a guy that's accomplished so much that he can still look back and be grateful about things versus taking it for granted that he was a great player and, you know, well dwell in his, you know, athletic accomplishments. Those types of things.
Well, here's real quick, Mark, we know it just makes, you know, it just feels right. But the science behind it now is really backing up why gratitude, I call it the center point of high performance. So, and the reason you really want to do that is when things are going well, you want to continue to plant those seeds. But also when things are struggling, that's the time the gratitude is even more important, right? And finding those little things, like you said, by the way, feet on the floor. I love that. I use my left foot hitting the floor first. And I just remind myself the world's magical. Today's not normal.
FOF, feet on floor. Just one follows the other one, right? And listen, I don't know about you, but I've been in a lot of holes. I've been in probably more valleys than I have peaks. And I'm going through a peak right now, but you know, it's just, it's made me really realize about, you know, being present, being in the moment, don't get caught up, because so much of the anxiety that people have is typically about things that even haven't even happened. Or if they happened a long time ago and you're worried about somebody said something that was awkward and weird.
Well, isn't that, that's the key. Hold on. Key to mindfulness. I know you got so much to say about it. Real quick, is being in the present moment. And what you just mentioned, I want to share, because anxiety, you know, stress, I feel it. We all feel it, right? But usually it's one of two things. Either you're ruminating on something in the past that somebody said or something happened, or you're projecting forward in the future. And it's usually a negative kind of, oh, well, what if this happens? What if this happens? And I love the quote that, you know, 99% of the things I worried about never happened anyhow. So why even worry? You know, that's a biblical quote. There's no reason to worry. And I think the technique for that, because that's easy to say, but the technique is be in the present moment. And that's why meditation and mindfulness and breath, they're really just tools to take you back to what you and I are just talking about. What's that tree look like? What's that butterfly look like? Present moment.
Love that. I was going to talk about and bring up, and I still do want to bring it up, your book. Is it out or is it coming, called Fearless
Success? Yeah, no, it's out. It's called Fearless Success. Yeah. And, you know, jump on Amazon, anywhere you can get it. We've sold over 50,000 copies now, which is kind of cool.
Good for you.
But yeah, Fearless Success. And it's about beyond high performance.
Yeah. You know, I made a post the other day coming off the Emmys, you know, so I'm up on stage in front of everybody in New York City, and I've got this thing in my hand, and, you know, I'm in front of every single major sports personality that you've ever seen on TV, and, you know, from the Olympics to NBC to HBO Sports to everything, all Bob Costas, they were all there. And yeah, so, and so the post I made is sometimes, and it kind of mirrors this thing that you're talking about with your book, Fearless Success, is that I stepped into the fear and magic happened. I didn't know what I was doing when I first started this whole journey. You know, it was just like, and all these crazy things came out of it because of the domino effect of effort, of potential destiny, of all the hard work, of the teams that I was around. I mean, they just one after the other, And my overnight success took me 10 years, right? And yeah. And that's, I think, sometimes what people miss in terms of when things like sparkly things like that come up and you're a Top Gun pilot or yeah, played in the NFL. So like this took years and years and years and years and years with no fanfare and no, and there was no certainty about any of this stuff. Matter of fact, I didn't even know. Well, first of all, I got into climbing, not because of a movie. I got into climbing and then out of the blue, the NFL shows up, but I had no idea like in all this that there was like Emmy was even tied to this film thing. I mean, I didn't know how the process works. And then presto. But anyways, going into Fearless Success. So what's the basic principle behind for you in this book about, is it stepping into the fear and much more than that? Or what is that?
Yeah, it's what I like to talk about. And by the way, it's just my experiences, not only flying with the Blue Angels, but I really unpack that because just like climbing Everest or being on an NFL team, when you're at that elite level, you learn certain things, right? It's not just fundamentals. You have to have the fundamentals down. It's really the differences, the unique differences that are powerful. And most people can't translate that back to normal life. And that's so the book is really about breaking down how the Blue Angels fly closer together and lower to the ground than any other team in the world consistently with new people under changing conditions. So it's adapting through change, it's leading through change, it's everything you talked about. And there's a lot of stories, right? That's the key. I mean, I don't want to just give philosophy. I want to tell the stories and then look back and say, okay, well, how did we do that? So it's there's really four points that I take people through. I call this the high performance framework, but it starts with not just vision. Vision's important, whether it's in a company or an individual, and your personal mission statement matters. I think you got a great one, but I talk about beliefs. I say, okay, it really matters. What do you believe? And then what's limiting us? And what's liberating us? So for me, a limiting belief, you watch 99% of the time, it's fear-based. There's something that's holding us back and causing us stuckness, and it's usually the fear. So I try to acknowledge that, but move into a liberating belief, which is just opportunity. You know, where's the opportunity, right? And so that's where it starts. And then you got to have a process. I call it a cadence of execution. Once you have, you know, a belief like that, hey, I can climb the mountain, I can make it to Everest, that's not enough. You got to go do it. You got to practice. You got to train. I call that the brief. So that's the preparation. And there's two sides of preparation. There's the physical side, or in this case, business, because I speak to a lot of I was just with Google last week. I mean, I'm with all over the world with companies. You got to have a process, but you also have to have that visualization, or what I call that mental focus piece with the processes. Then you got to execute. Well, I like to execute through trust, high trust agreements. And then to me, the most important part, and Mark, this is so critical, is what I call the glad to be here debrief. And that is, what are you going to learn? What are you going to review? Where's your self-assessment? Where's the feedback? I'm in a constant learning loop, and that resets the belief levels.
No, I mean, you're so right on so many fronts there, and you know, limiting beliefs and all this kind of stuff. One thing that I found interesting though is like once you do, I mean, everything that you just said about setting your bar super high, and it doesn't have to be Mount Everest, and it doesn't have to be flying jets, but you know, whatever that thing, it might be the Boston Marathon or something, right?
Yeah.
But so many times what I find happening, the things that I've chosen to do, especially down this 10, the seven summit thing, which essentially took me 10 years to accomplish, is that I had so many people that were projecting their own fears on me. You're going to die. Like, why do I have to die? Right. Like, those are your fears. Right.
Right.
So it's interesting because there's two forces coming at you. Another one could be, like, again, you want to go to MBA school at Harvard or something like that, and you've grown up maybe in a not best situation in terms of the social, economic background. And so maybe there's a parent that says, you'll never amount to anything. Those are those are their belief. Those are their fears, right?
So here's a great story. So I had, I went to Stanford. I went to MBA at Stanford. Actually became a Sloan Fellow. I didn't have the academic background to get in there. I was like an average student in college, right? But the key, But the key is that, you know, there's something unique about each and every one of us. If you want an MBA from Harvard or Stanford, you got to bring something to the table. It's not just your mind, right? And like you and I know teamwork. We know teamwork really well. And guess what? They're teaching teamwork in business schools now. So they want that I call a well-rounded person. So anyone who's trying to do anything, just be authentic, be yourself, and bring to the table what you are most gifted at. I call it your unique value proposition.
I think the one thing I would add to that, and I would go back to let's go back to my NFL days, my transition between college and the NFL, I had personal friends come up to me in my face and say, "You'll never make it." And
you're too small. You're not going to make it.
You're too something. Cause you know, that was too grand for them. But again, it's taking anything. Well, first of all, surrounding yourself. We talked about this, surrounding yourself with positive influences. Could be music, could be your friends, could be a podcast, could be a television show, something that's going to inspire you. And then you need to block out the noise. Because if they're not going to pull you up, if they're not going to lift you, they're going to pull you down, right? And that doesn't serve you. And again, that typically, so often we get in this whole thing like, John, if you were to get mad at me about something, I'm just walking down the street and you yell at me about, you know, I'm not wearing the right colors or something. And so often we take that personally. And it's really like, it's something that somebody else is projecting upon you because they didn't accomplish something or something weird happened in the background. And so, I mean, it's complicated because we all have minds and feelings and heart and all this kind of stuff. And so we want to accomplish things. And sometimes there's external forces that push us down, but you just got to be, like you said, very clear on your mission, on your vision and where you want to go accomplish big things. And along the way, you know, pay it forward like you've done.
Yes. Well, I want to bring back, you know, you said you didn't get into doing a film for money or for awards. You know, I know you're giving back. You're raising money for not only Higher Ground, but for other charities. And that's the key is I call that a purpose higher than self. Right. And when you can connect your abilities with that purpose, that's when the magic happens.
That is when the magic happens. And so I'll have to check and see exactly when this podcast is going to come out in the next week or two. But the bottom line is we are having a film debut, Searching of the Summit, just one best picture. We're going to have that, if anybody's in town here in Sun Valley at the Opera House, the 16th of June at 6 p.m. It's going to be magical. It's going to be incredible. John's actually going to participate in that. He's going to be up there. He's going to MC it. And he's going to teach us all about attitude of gratitude and paying it forward and all these other cool things that he has and this great experience with Flying Blue Angel. So, John, listen, I appreciate you being here. Obviously, you've got the t-shirt on right now. It says glad to be here. So I'm trusting that you are glad to be here doing this podcast, you know, doing this whole thing.
Yeah, Mark, first off, you know, to do as many as you've done, 250 or something? What do you got?
You are 251.
There you go. You know, the discipline, the due diligence, to do that and to keep making a difference. I know what motivates you. I can see it. I'm so glad that we have the opportunity to share that with so many people through your film. So congratulations. But yeah, I'm super grateful. This is awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, everybody there. Oh, before we leave, where can people find you?
Yeah, johnfoleyinc.com, johnfoleyinc.com. We got all kinds of cool programs. You don't have to be a big keynote speech. We got lots of cool stuff for you.
Yeah, it is a cool site. So there he is, everybody, the one, the only John Foley. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. Okay, if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, nfl.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.